Jesus tells us to take up our cross and follow him. You're listening to Crosswalk with Pastor Steve Winery. Crosswalk is the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Tri-Cities, and it is our aim to lead you to the cross through the teaching of God's word.
Come break our culture, tear down our pride. Lord, take your church and purify. Oh, we are ready to stand in your love. Come, King Jesus, deliver us. Oh, my King is coming. Restless hearts, be still.
Besides those males from 3 years old and up who were written in the genealogy, they distributed to everyone who entered the house of the Lord his daily portion for the work of his service by his division. And it specifically mentions children in the passage, 3 years old and up. The reason it starts from 3 years old and up is because in Jewish culture at the time, they were breastfeeding their kids up to the age of 3 years old. And so from that point on, then they would give them solid food. And so the kids are in on the provision that takes place here. You know, one of the issues that you have in this passage is the fact that these guys had been serving the Lord, and they were in a position where they were offering their lives up to God, and it had to do with the whole priesthood in the Old Testament, but they're still offering their lives up to God. And what God does is he takes care of them, and he takes care of their children too. And it's something to keep in mind. Because when I serve the Lord, what God promises to take care of is not only me, but he promises to take care of my wife, and he promises to take care of my kids too. And obviously, every single one of those people has a free will and they can do what they want. But what I've seen in my own life is that God does a really good job of taking care of the issues that come up in my family. He does a really good job of it. And he's been faithful in that situation. You know, a lot of times people will look at the whole issue of serving God, and this is what I mean by this. I'm not talking about necessarily going into full-time ministry, but the way, you know, the way I was taught when I first became a Christian is you become a Christian, and you're here on the planet for a reason. The reason you're here on the planet is to be able to impact people who are around you, and so you need to be involved in ministry. And so some of the first ministries that I did were, you know, ushering and Sunday school and that kind of thing, and new convert counselor, that kind of stuff. But then I realized that my work is a ministry. And the guys that I work with day to day are guys that Jesus put in front of my face so that I could reach out to them. And then there were other ministries that God put me in. I know how to play the guitar, and so I was a worship leader. And then at a certain point in my life, God made me a teacher. And so I taught home Bible studies. I never expected to be doing this. I expected that I was just going to be doing ministry around my church. That's what I thought. You know, on Sundays, I'm going to be doing stuff around church. And then on Tuesdays, I'm going to be doing my home Bible study. And if guys need help, you know, with worship and stuff like that, I'll be leading worship. And when I go to work, those guys are my ministry, the guys that I work with. That's my ministry. And so I was always ministry-minded because it was thumped into my head that that's what we're here for. I'm not just here to exist. I'm not just here to have a nice life. I'm not just going to church so I can hear something nice and walk out and feel good about myself. The reason that all this stuff is happening is so that I can be part of what God's doing on this planet to change the lives of the people who are around me. A lot of people look at that and they go, well, I don't know if I want to do that because that might take time away from my family. If it takes time away from my family, then my kids might suffer because of it. And so instead of going after the kingdom of God, and I'm not saying that you have to deny your kids to be able to serve Jesus, but a lot of times people put it in that kind of level. It's like, well, I can either minister for the Lord or I can minister to my family, but I can't do both. That's nonsense. Complete and utter nonsense. That is not the way that things work. And what I found is that when I've been ministering for the Lord, that God is good to take care of my family in all kinds of ways. And, you know, again, I've been doing this for a really long time, and I'm a pastor, and I'm a really busy guy, and I have to do priorities in my life. So my wife's a priority, my kids are a priority. There are times when I just step back from all the things that people want me to do so that I can take care of things at home. I'm not saying that I'm just down here all the time or something, But it's like, it's not either or, it's both and Jesus takes care of the stuff that that I'm afraid that I'm going to drop the ball on. He does it. And that's, again, the point of a lot of the stuff that you see in Scripture. God is good. And so when I'm serving Him, if I have my priorities straight and I am focusing on the things that God's called me to, then He's going to take care of my life and all the areas of my life that needs to be taken care of. So my marriage, my family, you know, now I'm in a situation, you heard Bobby talking about my mom. And so when, you know, I'm getting older. And so there are people in my family who are way older than me. And so my mom's one of those. And I've always known that what was going to happen is my mom, you know, I've been praying about this for years. My mom's coming home. She's coming to my house. And so what I'm going to be doing is ministering to her. And so, you know, I happen to be in a situation where, you know, it's like the stuff that I do, I can do, you know, in my office or I can do at my home. And so today stuff happened at home. And so I was able to stay home with my mom. Didn't do a whole lot with her, but I was there for her and that kind of stuff. And so, you know, it's like there's a balance. I don't just ignore people and that kind of thing, but I can do both. I can do this stuff. And if I was in construction, it would be a little bit of a different situation. I would have to get up and go to work, and God would provide in all those areas. But I was put on this planet to be a minister of Jesus Christ, and so were you. And so God has stuff for you to do. And so don't take one part of your ministry, which is your family, and try to put it above the rest of what God's got going in as far as the kingdom of God goes. And again, I'm not saying that your family isn't important. When there have been issues in my family where there was danger of people not walking with the Lord, I did stuff. I'm not telling you everything I did, but I did stuff, and I got it done. And, you know, Jesus involved in the whole thing, Jesus working in the whole thing, but I didn't stand back on those things. It's like I take care of my family. And again, I guess what I'm saying is all of that stuff can be done all at the same time. I've never had to give up ministry so that I can do family, and I've never had to give up family so that I could do ministry. There are times back and forth where, you know, situations come up and things have to be put on hold. That's okay for a day or two. That's not a problem. But I'm not giving up either one of them. I'm gonna follow Jesus. I'm here on the planet for a reason. I'm gonna fulfill what He's got me here for, and He's gonna take care of me. And He does. And He'll take care of you too. I'm no different than anybody in the room, right? It goes on and says, "And to the priests," verse 17, "who were written in the genealogy according to their father's house, and to the Levites from 20 years old and up according to their work by their divisions. And to all who were written in the genealogy," and here we have the little ones and their wives, "their little ones and their wives, their sons, daughters, the whole company of them, for in their faithfulness they sanctified themselves in holiness." And so, again, God's taking care of everybody in this situation. "Also for the sons of Aaron, the priests, who were in the fields of the common lands of their cities. In every single city, there were men who were designated by name to distribute portions to all the males among the priests and to all who were listed by genealogies among the Levites. Thus Hezekiah did throughout all Judah, and he did what was good and right and true before the Lord his God." That's what God calls us to. Do what is good. Do what's right. Do what's true. And when you fail, you know what's good and right and true? You confess. And then you get up and you do what's good and right and true. And then you fail again and you confess. Ask God to forgive you, and that's good and right and true. And that's the way that life is supposed to go. "And in every work that he began in the service of the house of God, in the law and in the commandment, to seek his God, he did it with all his heart, so he prospered." And I can tell you that I've prospered as a believer, and that is why. Did you seek God? And what he's going to do is he's going to bless it. Turn over to Matthew chapter 6, if you would. Matthew chapter 6. Jesus talked about the same principle. Every time I get to this passage, I want to go through the whole, all of chapter 5 and all of chapter 6 before I get to this passage. But in verse 19, Jesus says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Remember I was talking about you can tell what you love by looking at your checkbook? That's what Jesus is talking about there. He says, the lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad or evil or unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that's in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? An evil eye in the Bible is defined in the Bible, in the book of Deuteronomy. The only place where it's really defined is in the context of being greedy towards people. And so it's like your brother has something that you know, he's in need, and the Bible says in Deuteronomy, beware lest your eye be evil towards your brother, in the sense of you don't want to give, you don't want to help him out, and have that kind of thing, you know, have that kind of attitude. In any case, he goes on and says, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he'll be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. So let me point out to you, in verse 19, Jesus says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. That's a commandment. He says, don't do it. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on the earth. So, is that contradictory to what people in the world have to say? Is that contradictory to a lot of our attitudes? And he's not talking, you know, when he's saying this stuff, he's not talking about the idea of necessarily having a bank account or having a savings account or even having a retirement account. It's the idea of where is your heart? What is this about to you? And it's one of those things that we need to keep in the forefront of our minds. You know, when I think of my savings accounts and my bank accounts and that kind of stuff, it's like that stuff can disappear in a day. You know, it can just be all gone. When you think of a retirement accounts are tied up with the stock market. All that stuff can be gone in a day. You know, all my money can be gone. I have a wife. It can all be gone in a day. Get that? Did you get? No one's laughing. It was just like crickets, man. I'm just messing around. But all this stuff can be gone in a day, and we don't put our trust in those things. And so, you know, there are other passages where it doesn't condemn rich people. It condemns the love of money. And so I'm not supposed to love money. And that's the point that he's making. So verse 24, he says, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he'll be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And mammon is riches. You cannot serve God and riches. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? And so what's the answer to that? Is life more than food and the body more than clothing? Yes, it is. And lots of people are, that's their whole concern. They're concerned with what they're going to put on, and they're concerned with what they're going to put in. They're concerned with those two things. And so sometimes it's not clothing. Well, lots of people in our culture, it's all about the clothing. You know, I've heard of guys who shot other guys over tennis shoes, of all things. Come on. Are you serious? And, you know, what you wear becomes an important thing. And you can take this whole concept into all kinds of different areas. You know that people wear their houses, right? So they go out and buy a certain type of house in a certain type of neighborhood, and it's doing exactly the same thing as wearing a certain type of suit. They're wearing it. It's not just a place to, you know, to crash at night. It's a really nice place to crash at night. And it's a symbol of status. We do this with people too. And so, you know, you see the old guys who have the 20-year-old girl hanging off their arm and their arm candy and that kind of thing. And that's, you know, he didn't love her. He wears her. That's what's happening. And it's, again, it's that kind of thing. And, you know, you see ladies doing the same kind of stuff. And Jesus said, life is more than that. And it's not supposed to be caught up in those things. Verse 26, he says, look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Just the other day, all the sparrows came out in my front yard, and they're all, you know, sitting in front yard cheeping. And every time that happens, and you know it's not springtime, but you know they think it is. But every time that happens, I walk out, and this is the kind of stuff that I think of. I look around and I go, there's all these little sparrows running around, and God cares about each one of them, and He takes care of them. And they're not, you know, they don't have a barn someplace where they're storing stuff up. God's just going to take care of them, right? So why do you, verse 26 again, look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? So does God care more about you than little birds? Yes, absolutely, He does. So if He takes care of them, He's going to take care of you. Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to His stature? Talking about adding inches to your height. So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? And what's the answer to that? Yes, He will. So the flowers are about to come out, you know, in the next couple of months here. And when you go out and you look around the flowers, you look at the grass growing, you look at all that stuff going on, God is clothing the grass, and He's taking care of it. And if He clothes the grass, that's going to, by the time we get to June or July, be nothing but brown. If He clothes the grass, is He not going to take care of you? Is He not going to take care of your needs? You're more important than grass is, obviously. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. That's an important verse too. So all the unbelievers are seeking all the stuff. That's what they're going after. And so there are things that their minds are set on that they think need to happen in their lives for them to be fulfilled and for them to be happy. And those are the things that they're going after. That's what the Gentiles seek after. In this case, food and clothing and shelter and all of that kind of stuff. He says, for all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. So I don't have a need that God doesn't know about. He knows what I need. And then he goes on and says, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. See that? That's a promise. If I'm seeking first the kingdom of God, what's that mean? So seeking first the kingdom of God is making God king, and it's making Him God king in different places. When we pray the Lord's Prayer, we pray, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He's just said that in the previous section in this chapter, right? And so seeking first the kingdom of God is the idea that I want God to be king. And where does He need to be king first? Right here. I want Him to be king in my life. That's the kingdom of God. And I want Him to be king in my home. And I want Him to be king in my neighborhood. And I want Him to be king in my town. I want Him to be king in my church. I want Him to be king. I want Him to be king at my work. I want Him to be king. And that's that whole ministry thing that I was talking about before. Every place that God stuck me was a place that was to be used for ministry to advance the kingdom of God. You know, Jesus has done awesome things for me, and I don't have any right to keep it to myself. I need to be passing that on to the people who are around me, right? So that's what it means, seeking first the kingdom of God. And then it says, and His righteousness. So I want the kingdom of God. I want people to come to know Christ, and I want my life to reflect the kingdom of God. And it says here, Jesus says, and His righteousness. I want to seek His kingdom, and I want to seek His righteousness. His righteousness is a twofold righteousness. And the first fold is the idea that Jesus' righteousness is given to me so that I can go to heaven. I'm not going to heaven because I'm a cool guy or because I'm awesome. I'm going to heaven because Jesus traded places with me, and He's a cool guy, and He's awesome. That's called the righteousness of Christ. And so I want to seek first His righteousness. But then His righteousness isn't confined to that, because the second fold of the twofold issue there is I want the righteousness of Christ in the sense that I'm not depending on myself for salvation or for any work of God that happens in my life. I want the righteousness of Christ to be something where I'm recognizing that everything I have is nothing but gravy. God's just pouring these things out on me because He's good. Unmerited favor. I'm saved by the grace of God. But secondly, I want to have the practical righteousness that we were talking about earlier. Because when you really give your life to Jesus, there are changes that take place. And you fall in love with the Lord, and because you love Him, you want to do the things that please Him. And there's a practical righteousness that everybody can see. And those two things go hand in hand. If I have the real righteousness of Christ in my life, if the grace of God has been poured out on me, then I can expect that my life is going to be changed and that people are going to be able to see it. That's His righteousness. For seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So I'm not supposed to be going after the money. I'm not supposed to be going after the bucks. I'm not supposed to be going after the houses. I'm not supposed to be going after that stuff. And if God has that for you, praise the Lord. He's good. He blessed Abraham. He blessed Job. Then He took it away. Then He blessed him again. Right? But God blesses people, and there's nothing wrong with that. But I don't put my eyes on the blessing. I put my eyes on the Lord. And whatever He's got for me, you know, feed me with food that's convenient for me, said in the old King Jimmy. And that's what we want. He goes on and says, verse 34, therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. We spend lots of time worrying about all kinds of issues that are not in our purview. The issues that are in our purview is I'm supposed to be living for the Lord. And all the other issues are God's purview. You know, Jesus on purpose called God our Father. Well, most of us grew up in homes where we weren't worrying about the electric bill, right? Because your parents took care of it. And you weren't necessarily, and I understand, you know, some of us came from messed up homes, but and most of us were not worrying about where we were going to get food the next day, right? Because our parents were taking care of that. Mom and dad take care of that. And we weren't worrying about our house. We weren't worrying about all that stuff. And it's because, you know, when your family's right and when your parents are doing the things that they're supposed to be doing, that's their purview. And God's purview is taking care of my needs. And it's not mine. And again, I'm not irresponsible about that. The Bible says I'm supposed to work, so I need to work. So if I don't have a job, I go find a job. If I can't find a job, I make getting a job my job till I find one. I pray about it while I'm doing it, and God takes care of it. And He's always done that with me. When I get my job, it's a ministry, and so I'm going to treat my boss like He's the Lord. I'm going to treat the people who are on my job as if, you know, as Jesus would treat them. I'm going to try to bring people to Christ, and I'm going to do my work. And I'm going to take breaks when I'm supposed to take them. I'm just not going to be tooling the system, that kind of thing. I'm going to be a good worker. I'm going to be a good citizen. I'm going to be doing all the things that I'm supposed to be doing. And that kind of stuff goes on, and that's the way that it's supposed to go. But my focus is not on all those things, not on, you know, advancing at work and all that kind of stuff. My focus is on Jesus. And as my focus has been on Jesus, I've advanced at work. When my focus is on Jesus, God's blessed me in all kinds of decisions because I'm not just making the decisions. I'm praying about them. Well, God is, you know, this isn't my deal. This is your deal, not my purview. Not what I'm supposed to be doing. I got some choices here. What do you want to do? And God lets me know what He wants to do. And then we go that way and, oh, you know, wow, it got blessed. What's going on there? You know, it's just the hand of God in a person's life. And all that stuff goes together. It's just a really cool thing. Don't you think? So, be encouraged by that. Don't get that all mixed up. And make sure that you got your head straight on that stuff because God does want to bless you. And He wants to bless you. He'll bless you financially, but, you know, I don't know. I'm not a millionaire. Do I need to be a millionaire? Do I? No, I don't need to. You know, it's like God takes care of me, and I try to take care of the stuff that God gives me. When God gives me a new car, I keep it for 10, 12, 14 years until He gives me another one.
You've been listening to Crosswalk with Pastor Steve Winery. Crosswalk is the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Tri-Cities in Kennewick, Washington. If you're wanting to know more about what it means to follow Christ, then please contact our church office by phone at 509-736-2086. You can also look us up online at calvary-tricities.org. There you will find a wide variety of Steve's teachings to listen to or to download for free. If you want to join us for church sometime, we're located at 10611 West Clearwater Avenue in Kennewick, Washington. Our Sunday service times are 8:30 and 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. We also meet on Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m. We hope you have been blessed today and will join us again next time on Crosswalk.